Today's daf in Masechet Ta'anit, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is daf Lamed. And we got up to down to the two dots. At Kamash Man Aloch Rabbi Meir, and we can continue from there. Erev Tisha B'Av. So Erev Tisha B'Av, Lo Yochal Adam Shnei Tavshilin. So we started in the Mishnah describing what it is that we are allowed to do and also to do on Erev Tisha B'Av. And one of the things, the first thing that we learned is that you're not allowed to eat on Erev Tisha B'Av, two different types of cooked things. Now, that's mash for the whole day, Erev Tisha B'Av. But that certainly is not the case. And at last, the Gemara wants to define what do we mean by Erev Tisha B'Av. So therefore, comes along the Gemara to explain that this is only referring to Shesha Ot V'Lamala. It's only, says Rabbi Yehuda, if the seuda that you're eating is from noon up, but mishesha ot v'lamata, if you're eating from before noon, that's not called Erev Tisha B'Av in these terms. But furthermore, v'amar Rav Yehuda, there's another thing that's important. It really isn't even half of the day. It's only the last seuda in the last half of the day. So loshanu ela b'seuda hamafsik ba. So this is only where you're in your last meal of the day. You don't intend to eat again. So let's say it's 2 o'clock in the afternoon and you're eating, but this is not your last meal. You still plan to have another meal. Then this is not included in the Isra of Erev Tisha B'Av Lo Yochal Adam Shnei Tavshilin. And therefore it would be mutter. And both of these, Tarvayu Lekula, both of these are essential to know. In other words, one or the other that is missing is enough to make this not the Erev Tisha B'Av that the Mishnah is referring to. So therefore, let's just talk it out. Because let's say we would have had Rabbi Yehuda saying only his last ma'amah, b'su'uda ha'mafsik ba. So I would have said, oh, okay. So if the last time you intend to eat is 11 o'clock in the morning or 10 o'clock in the morning, then that would be the din of Erev Tisha B'Av. No, it's not. It has to be only in the afternoon. So I would have thought, if you're going to be Shesha Ot V'Lamata, that's why Rabbi Yehuda has to say, this is only if it's afternoon. Shesha Ot V'Lamala. On the other hand, if he would have taught us the halacha of Shesha Ot V'Lamala, I would have said, okay, anything that I eat after noon, even if it's, let's say, 1 o'clock in the afternoon, I still intend to have another Suda at four, that's also us. So I feel a bit Suda Shena Mavsik, but Kamashman, therefore we have Rabbi Yehuda's other pshat, to tell me that Davka, the Suda that he's being mafsik about, and it's the Suda that is afternoon, put the two together, and then we have to be careful not to eat lo yochal b'shnei tafshilin, and lo yochal basar, lo yishte yayin, and so on and so forth. So there, in the afternoon of Tisha B'Av, it would be mutter to do both. You'd be allowed to eat wine, drink wine, eat meat, each day seudais, even if it's 2 o'clock in the afternoon, as long as you intend to eat the seuda mafsekes, which is the last time you're going to eat later on in the day. And this has become now as the Ramah says, that the minhag is to have whatever seuda you're going to have, then daven mincha, then come back and eat the seuda mafsekes. Tanya Kalishna Kama, Vitanya Kalishna Brasra. We have both in Yonim of Rabbi Yehuda in a Braisa. Tanya Kalishna Basra, Asoed Erev Tisha B'Av, Imatit Lisot Su'uda Acheret. The last thing that Rabbi Yehuda said, what is it, that it has to be the final Su'uda that he's going to be eating today, which is called the Su'uda with which he is going to be Mafsik is Achila. So if he is going to eat another meal, says the Braita, Mutar, then it would be okay, Lishtod Basar, Yachol Basar, Lishtod Yai. If this is the last meal that you're going to be eating, then but there's also a brayta that makes it clear that it's also function of noon, before noon and afternoon, which is the Lishna Kama of Rabbi Yehuda. Erev Tisha B'Av, lo yochal adam shnei tafshilim, lo yochal basar, lo yishta yayin, and Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel omer yishaneh. You should make it different than you normally do, says Rabbi Yehuda. What do we mean by saying mishaneh? אם היה רגיל לאכול שני תפשילים, יאכל מן אחד. אם היה רגיל לסעוד בעשרה בני אדם, usually you've got 10 people at your meal. So today you only have 5 people at the meal. You used to drink 10 cups of wine at every meal. Go down to 5. But here's the thing that is the raya to the Lishna Kama. And then it adds in the Braita that when is all of this said that we're supposed to be mamayit in the drinking, in the eating, in the number of people that are there lechvodo, or entirely according to the Tanakhama from meat of any kind or wine of any kind, that's davka, if it's bishesh sha'ot v'lamala, avon bishesh sha'ot v'lamata mutar. Another price it says, Tanya Idach, Erev Tishabav, lo yochal adam shnei tafshilin, lo yochal basar, lo yishtayayin, divir Rebbe Meir, v'chachamim omrim yishaneh. You should do things differently than you normally do, and you should be memayit so that there should be an obvious difference, and you should eat less than you normally do, and that's the ikar. It's not that you can't eat it at all. So when I say to be memayit, what do I mean? So let's say you used to eat a pound of meat, eat a half a pound, you know? So ima yoragila cholitra basar, yochachatzi basar, used to drink a lug of yayin, drink a half a lug of yayin. And if normally you don't eat these things at every meal, so then you're not allowed to eat it there. Mimenu ragil kolikar, then it's also. Reb Shimon ben Gamliel omer, even if, let's say, after the meal, you used to have a little bit of something to nash on. So ragil echotzno, no malias, you had a little bit of herring or something after the su'udah. Harishut biyado, that you're also allowed to do in your su'udah mafseket. Now, Lamaisa, I mean, this is incredibly, to us, this sounds amazing because like we are machmer even, of course, from Rosh Chodesh, and there's no bus, and there's no, yeah, you were talking about like during the Erev Tisha B'Av, 2 hours before Tisha B'Av, we're sitting there eating meat and drinking wine and having a ball. It's like absolutely amazing. So the Rambam brings this halacha, but he adds, my whole life, I never once ate any kind of meat or wine, Erev Tisha B'Av, Chas V'Shalom, and so on. So even that to us sounds out. I mean, which person would say otherwise? I mean, we haven't eaten for the past week and more. So again, these halachas sound very, very cold to us. L'maisa, there was a lot of discussion during the Meshech HaDorot. There was a lot of discussion about these issues. That is it really okay? There was a lot of limud chovah, people that would have these big su'udas or tishabav claiming that they needed to eat a lot because they wouldn't be able to fast. And then, you know, they would go take a little break and then they would manage to squeeze down a piece of bread, you know, and to claim that that was their sort of mafsek. As a lot of the early poskim used to make fun of this a lot. However, l'maisa, there were others who said, listen, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is your ala levav. And like the Ohr Zoruah writes, I don't see anything wrong if a person needs to eat a full meal on Erev Tisha B'Av, as long as he's not going to be an idiot and fill himself up to the point that he can't even eat his Sunnah Mafsekes. I don't see anything wrong with it, as long as in reality, as long as in reality he's doing this, you can't mute? Something's wrong with your phone? Huh. Oh, it's not you. Okay. It says you're not mute. And then there's no problem. So again, I mean, until fairly, by the time of the Ramah, already the Ramah has pointed out that nowadays, you know, we have our minhag here in Ashkenaz, big milotela, that we don't eat even from Rosh Chodesh, and certainly it's not, the minhag is to be very machmer on Erev Tisha B'Av, and we don't have these big meals even earlier in the day. Tanya Ida is another brisa that puts it like this, Koshuhu Mishum Tisha B'Av. Any time that the Sa'uda is for the purpose of Tisha B'Av, now there's two ways that would be, what it would exclude. Suppose it's a Sa'uda Mafsekas before a different Tainus, not Tisha B'Av, but a Tainus, like one of the Tainus Tzibur, then these Dinim do not apply. Or, let's say, it is a Tainus for Tisha B'Av, but it's not the Sa'uda Mafsekas, therefore it's also not included. So that's the point. If this is the Su'uda of Tisha B'Av, the Su'uda Mafsekes, that is what's called the Su'uda of Tisha B'Av. So if it's Bishum Tisha B'Av, Asur Lechol Basar, Asur Lishtot Miayin, you're not allowed to wash after that. Kosher Eino Mishum Tisha B'Av, but a meal that's not for Tisha B'Av, as I say, either it's not for the Tainus of Tisha B'Av, it's for a different Tainus Tzibur, or it's for Tisha B'Av, but it's not the Suda of Tisha B'Av, which is called the Suda Mafsekes. There, by the way, there are those who before they eat the egg that they dip into the ash, so they have a minute to say Zez Uda Tisha B'Av, to be koveya this as being the time that they're mourning for Tisha B'Av, beginning the mourning for Tisha B'Av. And any time that it's like that, then you're allowed to eat meat. If it's not for Tisha B'Av, mutalech or basar, lishtot yayin, and it would be usur, lirchotz, it would still be usur to do, that's the gears that we have, we'll be talking about this in another moment. It could be that this is just a mistake because it does not appear in any place that it's usur under Adarab, like Mar is going to say afterwards. So the Parshtish, it ought to say mutar lirchotz, which is the way that it's brought in the poskim in Rishonim. Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Shum Aviv, there is never an isser of rechitza as long as you're allowed to eat. That doesn't make sense. If you're even allowed to eat on Erev Tisha B'Av, so why would we put the secondary types of inuyim, such as not washing your hands or whatever? If you're allowed to eat, then you're allowed to be rochitz. Before I go on, I just a number of people complained that I did not make myself clear last night, so I wanted to clarify what I was saying about the idea of the moon being a phenomenon. So I was comparing to you the idea of Sviras HaOmer. Sviras HaOmer considered to be a mitzvah saseh shasban gorma. So there are those who taina that since it's a phenomena and not a time, you're counting from the time of the bringing the Omer. It happens to be that it's true. The Omer is brought on a particular day, but you're not counting to the day. You're counting to the Omer. So is a phenomena something that with a woman is put on just because it happens to occur on a day? And this relates, I was trying to relate it to the idea of whether a woman is supposed to say Kiddush Levana. What's the relationship? Because Kiddush Levana is not about the time. Kiddush Levana is about a phenomena where the molad occurs. And that's not a time. That's just an event that we see in the moon. So here is where there's a discussion among the Paiskin. Reb Shlomo Kluger actually says there's no such concept because the reality is that the definition of time is a phenomena that takes place vis-a-vis the sun or the moon. And therefore, if we're talking about the ma'orot that are the basis of moed, you cannot say, but this is just an event that has to do with the shine of the moon. There is no shine of the moon that is not ipso facto moed related. That was the point. Sorry, I didn't do a good job of bringing it up. Anyway, Tana Rabbana. Kol mitzvot. Anohagot ba'avel. Anohagot b'tisha b'av. First of all, anything that an avel is not allowed to do, you're not allowed to do on Tisha B'Av. But that doesn't mean only those things. There's other things as well. I mean, obviously, an avel is allowed to eat, and an avel is allowed to drink, and so on. But on Tisha B'Av, we go beyond the avel. So on Tisha B'Av, we have an iser v'achila, and shtia, and sicha, which is the equivalent of putting oil on yourself, as the equivalent of shtia, and b'ni'ilat sandal. Now we get to the things that are usher for the avel. Ni'ilat sandal, tashmish amita, and asur likrot b'torah b'nevi'im b'ktuvim. You're not even allowed to learn Torah, Nevi'im, v'ksuvim, because these make you happy. You're not allowed to learn Mishnah, Gemara, Medrash, Halachas, Agada, but you are allowed to read things that you are not familiar with, and therefore you will be very sick at heart that you don't understand what you're reading. Everybody knows that horrible feeling. And that's Chalishas Hadas, right? Oh, God, I don't know what's going on. What is Tosfos talking about? So if that's the case, then you're not going to be nene from it. So that you can do. You can read Tanakh and say, I don't understand Iyov. Well, anyway, Iyov is anyway mutter. I don't understand Yeshayahu. Or you can learn Gemara or Mishnah. And there are things you're allowed to read entirely, such as the Kinais, and that's Eicha, Iyov, Dvarim HaRoim Shir B'Yirmiyo, and all of the things, the bad Nevi'ahs in Yirmiyo. V'tinokot shel Beit Rabban B'Telim, Mishum Shenema, Pikudei Hashem Yishorim Yisam Chelev. And the children in school do not learn. We don't allow them to learn because actually there's a completely different gears over there as the Gruh brings over here. That Tinokosh shall beis Rabban einan b'teilim. We don't cancel school for the Tinokosh shall beis Rabban. It's the correct girsa, says the Gruh over here. Anyway, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, af eino korei b'mokom sheino ragil l'kros. This is not true, and it's not how we pass. You're not allowed to read just because you're frustrated and you don't understand what you're reading. You're not allowed to learn Torah in a place where eino ragil lishnot, because there's always some level of simcha of Torah, even when you're frustrated. However, that's definitely true, that the Divrei Torah themselves that have to do with the Avilut, with the tragedy of Tisha B'Av, that for sure you are allowed to. According to Rabbi Yehuda, there is an overall concept of a happiness that is not a happiness that's intellectual. It's a happiness that accrues to you through exposure to Torah. And that's true even where intellectually you're not having a good time and you're miserable and you're a child and doesn't sense the joy of learning, but there's a joy of Torah. Then the Mishnah Paskin lo yochal basar v'lo yishta yayin. But the Braisa says that doesn't mean you can't eat something that's fleishix. You could even eat some salami, because you're allowed to eat basar maliach if you have preserved meats, whether that's fish that's preserved or it's meat that's preserved, and you can drink yayin migito. You're allowed to. I see Barnes about to attack me. One moment. A stitch in time saves nine, which has to do with the understanding of the Arba Tainiyas, because if you can finally do teshuva and Asar Bateves, then you don't have to get the Tisha B'Av. So it would have been a stitch in time, which is Mayed, Karol Moed, saves nine, which is Tisha B'Av. But anyway, getting back to this halacha. So the Tana holds that it's not considered to be meat if it's salted meat, because the only time, we're going to see, the only time that we find the Torah referring to something as meat, the maximum meat from the time of Shechita is the 2 days with one night in between, which is called Bisar Zevach HaShlamim. More than that, we never find the Torah called something meat. So if something is preserved for longer than that, it's not considered to have that special delicious taste of meat, like fresh meat. So you could eat Basar Maliach, and you could drink grape juice. We're talking about Basar Maliach. What does that mean? Amar Rav China na Bar Kana Mishmei Deshmuel, Kol Zman Shuk Kishlamim, it's considered to be Basar. So if it's like the Shlamim, it's only 2 days from the time of Shechita, then it's meat. More than that, it's considered to be preserved meat, and preserved meat does not have that same simcha. And what's considered to be wine that is fresh from the gut, so it's out of the press, that we've said over there, that you could drink. That's talking about kozmanshu toses. As long as it's now fermenting, it's considered to be new. And tana yayin toses ein bo mishum gilui. If it's fermenting, there's no din of gilui either, because even a snake won't drink from kamatas isato. Shlosha yabim. Now, as Rav Shlomo Zalman took great pains to point out in a psak halacha and Shlomo, is he makes it very clear that this is not the definition of yayin migito. This is the definition of one particular type of wine, which is the yayin toseis. But yayin migito is considered to be yayin migito even where there's no fermentation, and it's perfectly good, and it tastes good, and so on, but it's just grape juice. And that itself is defined as yayin migito. As we paskin, of course, our minhag is to aser any type of yayin, including yayin migit. Omer Rav Yehuda Amarav, kach haya minagosh Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Eloi. This is the way Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Eloi does it, and this is the way that's brought to halacha, that a person should be mishtadel to eat on Erev Tisha B'Av. Erev Tisha B'Av, maybe ino pat chareva b'melach. They would bring him a piece of dried out bread with a little bit of salt, and he would sit in a crazy place, in a place that was considered to be dirty and unsuitable, such as the space between the tanur and the kiraim, like behind the oven, Everything gets dirty. And that's where he would sit, and he would eat his little piece of bread, and he would drink a little bit of water with it, v'shotela, kipan shamayim, and he looked like somebody was sitting in front of the dead relative that he was mitzdayer on. It was meisei muta lefanav, and that to him was the experience of eating the seuda of Tisha B'Av. Now, remember that we had the other shaila way back in Pesachim about what the din is of working on Tisha B'Av. So Tanan Asim in the Mishnah of the, back in Pesachim, we were talking about different minhagim about working and the din of Erev Pesach and Makom Shenagu La'asot Melacha B'Tisha B'Av Osim, Makom Shenagu Shelo La'asot Ein Osim. However, wherever you are, no matter what the minhag is, B'chol Makom Talmidei Chachamim definitely should not go about, should not be seen working. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, what Talmidei Chachamim? A person should make himself be a Talmud Chacham, even though normally I would say that if it's a Dover Shel Shevach, then Lokal HaRotzeh Litol Et Hashem Yitol, as we're very familiar with the Shita. But when it comes to this, not to work on Tisha B'Av, what it's considered to be a Shevach, that you don't work, that for sure. Everybody should act as a Talmud Chacham, a Tanya Navi Yochi, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, Lo'elam Yaseh Adem Atzmeh K'Talmud Chacham, K'dei She'Yitaneh. In order for a person to be in a deeper state of Tanit and to feel the Avelis more, certainly it's Kedai for him to act as if I am a Talmud Chacham and I don't work on Tisha B'Av. Tanya Idach, Roshimim Gamliel Omer, Kol Ochel V'Shoteh B'Tisha B'Av, Gilo Ochel V'Shoteh B'Yom HaKippurim. The same way that you wouldn't think of eating and drinking on Yom Kippur, that's the way you have to take a look at Yom Kippur. At Tisha B'Av, Rabbi Akiva Omer Kol Osim Alocha B'Tisha B'Av Eino Roeh Siman Bracha Lo'olam. So somebody who does work on Tisha B'Av, he will never see any Siman Bracha. V'Chachamim Omerim Kol Osim Alocha B'Tisha B'Av Eino Mitabel Al Yerushalayim Eino Roeh B'Simchata. Somebody who works on Tisha B'Av, he doesn't participate in the Tzar of Yerushalayim, he does not have the schus of being Roeh, the Simchas Yerushalayim. Shenemar simchu et Yerushalayim v'gilu b'kol o'aveh sisu ita masos kol ha-mitablim aleha. It says only those who are mitablim aleha will be sisa ita masos, and they will rejoice together with her. Mikan amru kol ha-mitabel al Yerushalayim zocheh v'ro'eh b'simchata v'she'ino mitabel al Yerushalayim eino ro'eh b'simchata. So this halacha that eino ro'eh simin bracha li'olam, as Tosis explains over here, and as we bring the halacha, it doesn't mean nothing that he ever does is successful. It means in that particular malacha, he won't be Raya any Simin Bracha. I told you the story when we were learning it in Pesachim about how I was so, I was very doubtful about whether I should accept an offer that, that people were asking me in New York to come in and to speak on Tisha B'Av and to go through the kinas with them. Anyway, so they were offering me, at the time it was a lot of money, you know, and I think now people actually spend this on a bottle of water. It was $1,000, you know, I think, is that what it's up to originally? Anyway, so I'm thinking, is this right? I mean, I'm allowed to work on Tisha B'Av. And yeah, I mean, it's not really work, because I'm basically just teaching Torah, and, you know, just basically covering the tircha of schlepping all the way into New York. I was in Baltimore at the time. Anyway, so fine. So I speak Tisha B'Av, come back. The next day, my daughter drives the car, drives the car out of the driveway straight into Ellie's car. Okay, fine. So don't worry, I'll pay for it. Okay, what was the bill? $1,000 precisely. So, and Eino Roeh Siman Bracha Me'Osa Melacha. Very quickly. It was really a big simcha, I must tell you. It made the Gemara so mukhash. Okay, continues. Tanya Amiyachi, the Bryce explains. But the yi avonotam alatzmotam. There's the avenas that they have, they are right on their bones. So, partially because all of that food and so on, that's going to be with them, and they're never going to be able to escape that, even less you know. Rabbi Yehuda Mechayev B'Kviyat HaMita. Then we add in the Mishnah, a machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim about whether you're supposed to turn over your beds. Now, this once upon a time, this was a minhag in the Beis HaAvel. It was a very important minhag. which was no longer kept even in the time of the Rishonim. So Tosis explains, in a place where there's a chashash, the goyim constantly accusing you of witchcraft, it's hard to remember that this was very recent. There's still places where the goyim have these kind of libels. So taking a bed and turning a bed upside down to show that you have no place to lay your head and that your life is just totally miserable and you have no comfort. That was the inyan. And as we'll see, it wasn't only your personal bed, but it was all of the beds in your home, so that to show that there's no comfort in your house. So that it went out of style at the time already of the Rishonim because of the danger of goyim that would see it. And afterwards, it became completely batal for the simple reason that nowadays it doesn't make any sense, because the bed, which is essentially the mattress, is the same mattress whether it's right side up or upside down usually. So you don't really show it via samita, but you're not showing anything by turning it upside down. So it used to be that it was, you know, just a piece of leather underneath and then, or strings underneath, and then you had the meat on top of it. That would make sense. So Tanya, Amruno the Rabbi Yehuda. So the Chachamim said to Rabbi Yehuda, according to you, what is people going to do that should not be exposed to sleeping on the ground? I mean, if a woman is pregnant or a woman is nursing, she can't be exposed to that kind of treatment. Amar Lehem, I don't understand what you're asking. Did I ever say that it has to be everybody that's going to be included and the tainus is going to be included in kviyat amita? I said that people who are able to tolerate that type of treatment, they should be kofes amita. By the way, is the mic okay today? Okay, good. Because I put it back on the automatic and because somebody was complaining that it wasn't good. It's all so random. Anyway, so I never said Rabbi Yehuda, I never said that this is on everyone. I said, if you're able to tolerate it, then you should do it. Tani nami achi. And in fact, the Braisa said that Rabbi Yehuda told the Chachomi, listen, I made it that if you're not able to do it, like an uberet and a minika, you should not. But this Braisa says, which is quite confusing, that the Chachomim are moded to Rabbi Yehuda that anybody who can tolerate it should. So then, what are they arguing about, as the Gemara? So if we're all agreed, then maybe nayu, what's the difference? Here's where we discover the extension of the halacha of kviyat hamita. Ika binayu sha'ar mitot. The question is whether the other beds in your home that you're not using, are they chayiv it to be turned upside down? So Chachomim, when they say that we're not mechayiv you in kviyat hamita, what they're referring to is those additional beds, whereas Rabbi Yehuda says it's also a sign, it's a siman, and that you do the way on Tisha B'Av, the way that an ova would do. Kiretanya, kisha amru lichpot amita. This is talking about the din of an ova. When we say that an ova is chayiv in kviyat amita, lo mitato bilvadu kofeh. So basically what they were arguing about is whether Tisha B'Av is total avelut, like in the Beit HaAvel, or the personal anoga of the person should be as if he is experiencing avelut, but it's not a din in the household of an avel. Omar Rava, Yilchata Ketana Didan, the halacha is like what it says in our Mishnah, lo hodu chachamim, and not the way you're learning, that the Chachamim are made, that you should, and that Ubro to Minakot, but lo du Chachamim at all, kol ikar, and therefore there is no din, benogea, what the forget about extending it to other mitot, there's no din according to us at all of being memayit in the way that you sleep. And therefore, today, I mean, even in the Avel doesn't do kviyas mitot, but certainly not on Tisha B'Av, although, as I'm sure as you know, it's brought la'alocha, that if you're able to be memayit somewhat in the level of comfort that you normally would have, so if you normally sleep with two pillows, or sleep with one pillow, and so on and so forth.